I was sharing this morning at the service that one of the challenges of this season is just how misunderstood it is. And even in our call to a holy Lent that we're going to read in a few minutes, there's a word that stands out that I just really don't like. It'll be obvious in a second, but just to give you an example of how misunderstood this season is, for years I would give things up, and it was always on a food level. You know, because I was so self-serving the rest of the year, I decided this was the time of year that I would try to be a little bit self-deprivating and self-deprecating, but that just comes naturally. So I went from this season of self-service through the rest of the year, self-centeredness, and I would try to give up something like French fries. Or one year I did all meat and dairy. That was the worst year, and I was not very pleasant for the entire time. And it didn't do much for my spiritual life because I went from self-centered to self-deprivating and really self-flagellating by going through the sufferings in this way. And at the end, what it did is it made me more self-centered because look what I had accomplished on my own. You see a word that I repeated a few times there? It's the self. And that's the danger of Lent, that we make it somehow about ourselves. Oh, that verse in the Old Testament reading, you're fasting to please yourselves. That hit home a lot to me. The reading that really stuck out this time for me was the New Testament reading, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's so steeped in ancient culture, too. Paul starts by saying we're ambassadors for Christ. In the ancient world, the most powerful you could be, the most impressive that you could be as a person not born into the emperor's household is to be an ambassador. That is, you speak for the emperor. Or you speak for the king, and essentially you are his mouthpiece. What he says, you say. And there really should be no division between what he says and what you say. And so philosophers and theologians and politicians of all kinds sought after this position of becoming an ambassador. And so when Paul says that we're ambassadors for Jesus, what he's saying is we have reached a place of honor in the name of Jesus. Like I said, philosophers of all kinds, Stoics, Cynics, Platonists, all these folks loved the idea of being ambassadors. And what they would do when they kind of entered into a city or they kind of went out and gave their credentials is they would say who they were and what they have been through for their message. You notice this list that Paul gives, the beatings, the cursings, the long hours, and the going without food, and all of that. That's actually nothing new in the ancient world to have a list like that. There's actually a name that we give it. They're called hardship catalogs. Now, some of you might know people who give you their hardship catalog every time you talk to them. But in the ancient world, this is nothing new. People would give these hardship catalogs. All that they have gone through for their impressive message and teaching and philosophies. And so when the Corinthians would have heard this, they would have known this is just another one of these hardship catalogs. Paul is setting himself up as an ambassador and a philosopher, just like the other ones that we see. But there's a major difference. A unique difference in what Paul does with his hardship catalog and what others in the ancient world would have done. Because the way theirs would have gone would have been something like all of the beatings, all of the cursings, the stonings and imprisonments and all of that. I got through them by my own wisdom, my own strength, my own abilities because I am so smart and impressive. But what does Paul say? He says something entirely different, doesn't he? Because he got through all of these not because of anything that he does, but by the power of the Holy Spirit within him. He says, indeed, we speak the truth that God is working in us. It's not anything that Paul brings to the table. It's not his own impressiveness or his own ability to make it through sufferings. It's the Holy Spirit living within him. That would have stood out as something very different in the ancient world. And I might argue it stands out as something very different in our modern world too. And I want you to consider that as you look at your Lenten disciplines or your plans for this season. Some of you might give up food. Some of you might give up chocolate or Facebook or all of these different kind of things. Fantastic, do it. Whatever brings you closer to the Lord. Some of you might add something. I invited you all to encourage one person a day. I've been so blessed to see people and hear people do it around here. And it's so good. I love what's happening. And some of you might just be adding things like that. Great. But none of it is going to matter whether you're adding or subtracting or doing nothing at all if you're not doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have these collections of hardship catalogs from people, but they're in dead books. The Platonists, the Stoics, the Cynics. When have you heard about the modern fruit of their teachings and ministries? And it all depends on in whose name you're doing it and through whom you are doing your ministry. And so my encouragement to you today, as you begin this season of Lent, is give up self for Lent. Give up any of this idea that you're doing this in your own power. Because no matter how good you are at your Lenten discipline or your lifestyle in this time, none of it is going to matter unless you do it through the Holy Spirit. Because in the ancient world, they loved this idea that they did it on their own. But every one of us who is here tonight knows that they couldn't do it all. Did it all on their own. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Remember that you were dust. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus transforming power in your life, you have become heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And so this Lent, I encourage you, don't do it alone. Don't even think that you are alone. But whatever you do, whether it's addition or subtraction, in contrition and celebration, do it through the Holy Spirit. Do everything this season and beyond for the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit, that God would be glorified, that this season would have lasting fruit in your life. Do not do it alone. Do it through the Holy Spirit.